Hello and welcome everybody to the 8th episode of Dare Ye Enter the Goblin Cave. As always, it is I, your host, Gavin Reiser. And today I have a tale of pyromancers and inventions. Alright, so I'm alone again, you know. Kind of hard to find people who want to do this podcast apparently, but I persist. I have more episodes. I have another one in the works for tonight, actually. I flipped a coin, and our last dilemma that we had, you know, I was debating whether or not I wanted to do, magic drugs or mercenaries. Yeah, mercenaries is the other one. I was debating whether or not I wanted to do magic drugs or some mercenaries, and I came up with magic drugs. As prompts for stories, you know, not whatever you might be thinking about, listener. Gonna need you to keep your mind out of the gutter for this one. Alright, what news of the podcast do I have? I'm off of YouTube. I'm just no longer doing that. So the weirdest little thing happened with YouTube there. There's apparently an animated show called Goblin Cave or something like that. I haven't watched it, but I did look up Goblin Cave on YouTube, and I saw a bunch of, like Japanese-style animated clips of, or, thumbnails of the show. And, you know, it's nice that others are enjoying the whole goblin aesthetic, but it's definitely something I would stay away from. Not that all anime is bad, you know, but it's a little raunchy. Anyways, so I got a bunch of negative reviews and a copyright strike on some of my older videos that are called Goblin Cave. Got like 7,136 views on one of my videos at last time I checked, which is about 7,135 higher than they usually are. Huge increase in views, and they're all mad. They're all very not happy to see that there's a podcast that came there a few years before their show. So I'm going to leave YouTube to those clips. I don't really like uploading there to begin with. A lot of hassle. And, you know, like, all my boys, like, are watching on, like, Spotify and other, like, anywhere podcasts are available, you could find the show. If you have a website that you like to listen to podcasts on and you can't find my show there, I'll put it there. It's easy for me to just adapt new sites. I'll just do it. Anyways, other news. Oh, yeah, so you might notice the audio quality just dips, cuts in half. Sometime into the middle of the show. I am in the middle of that heat bubble over on the West Coast. You know, people are dying. And it's hot as fuck, so I'm going to turn the AC on sooner or later. I'll keep it off for now. Alright, audience, how about you and I just get into it, eh? Today, again, I have the tale of pyromancers and inventions. Very interesting prompt for you guys to suggest, but hey man, I am all ears for my audience. Anything you say, I will listen to. And y'all said pyromancer, so here we go. This is the tale of the most prolific baker in all of Drakkus. He was renowned across the plain for his confectionaries and skill. And on this day, he had sent away all of his apprentices, the sons and daughters of the chefs of nobility, who had been sent to train under he, O master of the sweet roll and the rolling pin. On this day, he shut his doors to the world, his windows too. This was his time. He would work by candlelight alone, as he often did when it was time to think about the deep things. He set forth, wasting no time, scrubbing his hands clean. Well-muscled hands, hands that were fairly soft due to the nature of his work, but corded with muscle from all the practice. It was said his grip could be so strong that he could wring the liquid out of bread dough and turn it right back into flour, yet soft enough to catch a falling ostrich egg without damaging the shell. He rolled up his sleeves as he always did. He needed to properly gauge the ambient temperature and humidity after all. No variable was to be left out. He was a man of science, if nothing else. He took great pride in the ingredients. Meticulously grated wheat flour from farmers he knew on a first-name basis and trusted with his life. Ones who had sworn a blood oath to keep the flour pure, perfect, untainted, uncut, fresh, watered from seed to seed with holy water from a hidden mountain spring. His yeast, garnered from hundreds of years of baking in his workshop, passed down from father to son as far back as his family history book went. Here, in this warm haven known as the kitchen, the yeast was held in the air. It was a similar story for the honey and every other spice in that building. It was all of perfect quality. All of these top-notch ingredients gathered under one roof for him. He who would make them into something incredible. There was a certain mysticism to it, a certain raw power that flowed from this act of pure creation. One that would cause the mouths of the gods themselves to water in envy, if only they could but taste. He mixed his dries together, letting the granules fall from betwixt his mighty fingers. His square jaw clenched, his eyes narrowed on his work. He had to visually make sure it was mixed to his incredible standards. And once the ratio was to his liking, he unwrapped a stick of butter from a porcelain container marked Daisy, put the eye in Daisy was a heart, and there was like a painting of like a little happy cow on the side. It clearly came from a cow named Daisy. He stoked the wood fire in his oven with logs from the dryad's forbidden grove, which burned a healthy green fire. Quickly, he shut the oven door, as that green light was absolutely gonna ruin his vibe. The flickering orange candle flame was much more complimentary to the dark hardwood and brick interior of his embassy of flavor. And now came the fun part, mixing the liquids into the dries. And now came the fun part, mixing the liquids into the dries. While it did bring a smile to his face, he kept his serene focus. Kneading the dough, folding it. Here was where the mastery came in. He felt the dough, he knew what it needed and how it needed to be treated. He caressed it and added a touch more of the honey water. He rubbed it and rolled it. Ah, he said, and added a pinch more of salt. He sunk his soft fingers deep into the dough, swirled them around and continued to press into it, making damn sure it was perfect, as he knew it could be. This is where those finger muscles came into play. And when it was perfect, he splayed it out into the pie tray and moved onto the filling. Boiled to perfection, a dozen different types of berries gathered for him by the celibate nuns of the mountain pass, who always seemed to linger by his door. He thought to himself, nice people. Weird get-ups, though. And when the berry puree was hot, and he could feel the temperature shift from the top, he used the mighty wooden spoon to ladle it into the awaiting pie dish. His powerful left hand held the steaming copper pot in the air, careful and still, his right hand scooping heaping piles of the berry puree with speed and precision unexpected from a man of his prodigious height. And once it was all in, creating a perfect dome shape, just begging to get topped with crust. He mischievously caressed it with a spoon, and definitely had to resist the urge to slap it and get that sweet goo everywhere. Instead, he moved on to the crucial step of topping the pie. He flattened out the remainder of his dough, pressing it hard into the work table, kneading it out more, spreading it as thin as it got, feeling where it got to be too thin and pushing yet more of the excess that way. And in the dim candlelight, he did not rely on his sight, but his connection to the dough. He topped the pie, crimped the crust of the small wooden utensil that left decorative imprints, and slid that pie into the middle rack of the oven. He watched an hourglass tick away, but only passively, for he relied on his other senses. He could smell the crust beginning to turn gold. The berry aroma began to fade and that delightful golden wheat flavor took over. And when he decided it was time, he pulled forth the pie, set it on the counter in that dim candlelight, and admired its perfect texture, shape, everything. This pie was his masterpiece, and it was beautiful. And then he fucked it. The guy would later go on to invent the donut, and the donut. The end. Yeah, that's a bit of a short episode. Really weird. Really weird, that one. But hey, man, I aim to please. All right, and that should be it. The intro music, as always, is brought to you by Matt Kelly. The art is brought to you by Mintaka Art at Instagram. And the background music from the last episode was Svartzeles, his album, the entire album, Ruins of a Castle Keep. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good album. Tonight, I think I'm going to be playing Era of Old as the background music for this one. Same artist, everything. Really good stuff. I mean, like, you could go to his Bandcamp. Is like, each album costs like $1. Just awesome music. I'd highly recommend it. And with that, everyone, I bid you adieu. Congratulations on surviving the Goblin Cave.